Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories. This will be episode number 105, and you can find it on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also available freely as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege to talk with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Erin. Hey, Erin, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm really glad and excited to have you as a guest on the show today.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So to get started, would you mind introducing yourself to us, who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep yourself busy?
Sure. My name is Erin. I'm from California originally, the San Francisco area, currently in Washington, D.C. I'm keeping busy, with my little dog, and I work in the history field, and I try and get outside as much as possible. I'm a big ocean person, so I like to surf.
Surf?
Yeah, surf.
oh wow, cool. Where do you do that in the DC area?
It's not easy. It's about a 2-hour drive or so, but there's a little island called Assateague Island, just off the coast of Maryland, and there's some pretty good waves out there. There's wild ponies out there too, so it's a nice visit.
Oh, all right, cool. And what made you decide to leave the San Francisco area of California to come east?
It was actually kind of a more complicated journey. My undergrad was in Los Angeles, and then after I graduated, I didn't have any particular job prospects, and I had a close friend who was going to go to graduate school in Boston, who needed a housemate. So the two of us hopped on Amtrak, and I went out there with no prospects yet again, and worked there for a year, and then I started graduate school down here in the Washington area. Mm-hmm. And I got a job after that, so here I am.
Oh, cool. And you work in history. Is that what you got your master's degree in?
I actually got that degree in library sciences.
Okay.
Library and information studies, I think they call it now. Mm-hmm. But my undergrad was in history, so mm-hmm. I'm actually putting that to good use. So.
Oh, all right, good. And you work in history, so like, do you teach?
No, it's actually kind of archival, more or less.
Okay.
I work on the more admin side of it, but.
All right. Gotcha. And what got you interested in history?
Oh, I was condemned from an early age. My parents were big. My mom's a librarian, and a lot of our vacations involved traipsing around historic sites. We went to England one year and just saw, I think, every castle that had ever been built on.
Oh, neat.
The soil there. So, yes, it was an easy decision.
Yeah. I went to England for the first time 3 years ago. And kind of like your story, I met somebody over the internet who stutters and lives right outside of London, and we became friends just by chatting. Yeah, and she had never met a person who stutters in person, so we had just started, you know, kidding around, like, how cool would it be if we actually had an opportunity to meet? So one thing led to another, and we planned this trip for me to go to England and stay with her.
How cool.
So she offered to let me stay at her home, which of course totally made the finances possible, without having to pay for lodging. And actually, she had two daughters, and she kind of farmed the daughters out, and they stayed with other relatives for the week. So it was a really neat experience. I went out there not knowing her, not knowing what to expect, a little bit worried about, oh my God, what if we hate each other,
Right, you have the one thing in common, but that could be it.
But as it turned out, it was a great experience. And like you mentioned, during my week I saw a lot of the castles. And I was just really like so impressed with just the architecture and just the beauty of the London area as opposed to the cities that we live in here over in the US. It was a great experience. And to think that she'd never met another person who stutters until I got off the plane and was stuttering, and I think it was very overwhelming for her, but we had that in common. And actually, while I was there, I had her, maybe a little bit against her will, I made her go to a British Stammering Association support group meeting with me, because I had wanted to check that out. And so not only was she faced with meeting one person who stutters, I brought her to a meeting where there were 12 people who stutter. So, like, she got indoctrinated whether she wanted to or not during that visit.
That's great. That just occurred to me. In college, I studied abroad in London, and it would have been a great idea to have gone to a British Stammering Association meeting. That would have been so interesting. That's a great idea.
I had actually been, on an internet email list, and I had mentioned in the course of the emailing that I would be visiting L London, and somebody from London was like, "Oh, while you're here, you should attend, a BSA meeting." I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. That'd be like trying to find it myself." And that's why I decided, well, Lisa's just gonna have to go with me. And it was really neat, because the British, as I'm sure you're aware, tend to do things around pubs.
Yes, very aware of that.
Yes. And the meeting was held on the third floor of a pub.
That's great.
And it was a 2-hour meeting, and like in during the break, everybody would go downstairs and get an alcoholic drink. And it was very comfortable and very relaxed, and you didn't even really think that you were at like a stuttering support group meeting, because like everybody was, just kind of like hanging out, having a drink, and talking. And it was very, very different than what it's like here. And they were so cool. The members of the group made sure, because we were in North London, and even my friend Lisa had been unfamiliar with the area, so they all walked us back to the tube location
Oh,
and
great.
made absolutely sure that we were going to be able to get back home safely, which was really cool.
Oh, that's really great. What a fun experience.
It was. It was definitely something that I had not thought would be part of my London experience, but it was, and it was good to meet other people who stutter from another country too. So,
Absolutely.
yeah. How stuttering impacted your life? What's it been like for you?
Oh, well, that's a big question.
I know.
I'm sure it's affected me in many ways that I don't even, can't even articulate. It definitely, it's just always something, that's in the back of my mind, I guess. It's always kind of there. I actually, similar to your friend, have only recently actually met other people who stutter. So up until, maybe last year, it was a very, I don't know if isolating is the right term, but it was something that was very much, I was the only person who was experiencing it kind of in my world. So that was definitely kind of added a layer of difficulty, I'm sure, to it.
Well, you're not un yeah, you're not unusual in that regard, because I too, when I was growing up, I had never met somebody else that stutters, and I felt like, oh my God, I'm the only one. And it's funny to think that, or think back on that, because now I know, and I'm sure you do, that there's 3 million Americans who stutter, and it's just funny how you can go through life and not meet anybody else.
Although I'm sure there have been many times where I have, and they just hit it well. Just like I'm sure there's many people who never knew that I stuttered. If I'm having a particularly, a good day, so I'm sure I actually have encountered many people. I just don't know it.
Now, did you do that? Did you hide your stuttering?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. It was something that was very, it was very open, kind of in my elementary school years. And then after that, it just, I just completely stopped talking about it. I tried hiding it up until fairly recently, when I started kind of talking openly about it again, speaking openly rather. So I was definitely one of those people who tried to hide it.
Yeah, I tried to do that too for many years, and I thought I was hiding it, and I and I thought I was being covert about it, but I really wasn't.
Yeah, I'm
People
sure.
around me knew that I stuttered.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that I thought was, by just not talking about it and being quiet in some situations, that that was enough, that I really was being successful hiding it. But the only one I was hiding it from was myself. And
Yes, absolutely. I've definitely come to learn.
yeah.
The
Now, did you have any speech therapy when you were a kid?
I did growing up. There was always somebody in the school who was a speech language professional. Typically, though, I was the only person they had ever worked with who stuttered, so it was not their area of expertise. So there was varying success. Actually, in junior high, middle school, there was a woman who was really good, who was very helpful. But that was only 2 years, and then I went off to high school, and I worked with somebody who had great intentions, but I think it was a combination of kind of lack of expertise combined with my angsty teenage years not wanting to do it. So I wasn't much help to myself at that point either. But yeah, so it was, the typical public school speech therapy I think a lot of us, go through.
Well, it's funny. I had speech therapy when I was a kid for 1 year in th third grade in public school, and then my dad moved us. Well, there was six of us, and I'm the oldest of six.
Oh,
My
wow.
My dad moved us to Catholic school,
Okay.
and it wasn't available. Therapy wasn't available.
Oh.
I'm sure it would have been like, if I had gone back over to the public school, like after school or whatever, but my father refused to pay for speech therapy privately. And I always thought that my father was ashamed of my stuttering because he didn't really want to acknowledge it or admit it, and basically refused to allow me to have therapy. So I had a hard time when I was a kid.
Yeah, that sounds unsupportive.
I well, it was, back in a different time. I mean,
Right, absolutely.
I'm in my 40s, so this was, 30 years ago, and it was definitely different then.
Absolutely.
So I didn't really have meaningful therapy again until about 5 years ago, as an adult. And really, the therapy at that time for me was not to suddenly learn how to become fluent. It was to become accepting of the fact that I'd been trying to hide my stuttering for so many years, and I just wanted to become comfortable with being open about it.
Wow.
So, in therapy, they were, trying to enforce or teach, fluency shaping techniques, like, I'm sure you've heard of them, targets and gentle onset and breathing properly. And I really wasn't interested in any of that. I just wanted to be able to stutter freely and confidently and be okay with that. So I didn't stay long in therapy. Probably only lasted about 2 years, because I wasn't really getting what I needed.
I mean,
Now,
now you've kind of reached that place of being accepting.
I would say so. I'm definitely more accepting and okay with the part of me that stutters than I've ever been in my life. So yeah,
Awesome.
for the most part, I stutter freely and openly, and I acknowledge that every once in a while I slip back into those hiding moments. Like if I'm in a situation where I feel like the stakes are high and I feel like I'm going to be, judged negatively, maybe I might try to be fluent. And I don't necessarily think that that's because, I'm like trying to hide my stuttering. I think that's more human nature.
Yes,
You
absolutely.
know, yeah. Now, you mentioned that you had only met somebody else who stutters about a year or so ago. How did that happen? Did you go to a support group or something?
I did. I started looking on the National Stuttering Association's website. Just kind of out of the blue, I thought, it's been 26 years at the time. I should meet somebody. So I did, and I actually found two groups, one of which is kind of more traditional, meeting at someone's house, kind of talking about stuttering, issues and kind of sharing techniques and stuff. And then this other one is actually closer to the BSA meeting you described. It's actually in Washington, D.C., and there's a group of us, who are generally in our 20s, 30s, 40s, who meet at a local bar and just meet
Oh,
about
cool.
an hour and a half or so once a month, completely relaxed, not, talking about, stuttering in particular, but not, not talking about it, but you know, the conversation goes anywhere from politics because it's Washington and
Right.
has an opinion to, you know, what the local sports teams are doing. So it's really, it's more people who happen to stutter kind of hanging out than your typical kind of support group, I guess. It's actually been really helpful, kind of being around people who are doing very similar things that I'm doing. It's been really great, basically.
Wow, that sounds like a really good environment. What was it like the first time that you actually met other people who stutter? I mean, was that what did you experience when you first met somebody else?
It was kind of surreal, to be honest. You know, I'd spent so long being the only person I knew who had experienced this, that to actually meet other people in person, it definitely took me a little while to be comfortable with stuttering and not kind of actively be thinking about it the whole time. But it, I mean, after maybe 15, 20 minutes, it was very liberating, I would say, to be able to, you know, talk to people and not have that in the back of my mind of, you know, thinking of emergency alternative words for things and just be able to speak normally.
Oh yeah, I know that well. I used to do a lot of word switching
Our
and
vocabularies are very robust.
yes. And I think people who stutter have like this huge vocabulary that people who don't stutter don't have.
Exactly. We have to be walking thesauri.
Yes, exactly. Are there other women who stutter in that group that you attend?
Is definitely heavily male, just like the statistics show. We actually comment on that almost every time that we're a pretty accurate representation of the stuttering community. I think there's about two other girls who will show up, women, I'm sorry, every occasionally. Not everybody shows up every month, so there's
Right.
I actually had to miss this month because I was sick. Too bad. But there's typically one girl for every three or four guys that are that's there. So definitely heavily male.
And do you feel self-conscious at all by like sometimes being the only one?
I think the having other people who are stuttering factor kind of overshadows the gender dynamic. It's definitely nice when there's another girl. You know, that's always good to you know, have someone else there. But I don't think that it's really something that's a big issue. It's just I don't know. I guess I haven't really thought about it that much.
It just it pop it pop it popped into my head because for a while I was going to our local NSA chapter here in I live in Albany, New York, and the group was fairly equal gender wise. I just didn't care for the group because they always talked about the same thing every week, and it seemed to be a little bit top heavy on what the leaders wanted to talk about and not necessarily what the rest of the members wanted to talk about. And then I decided I would try the local clinics. They had a support group as well, because we have a college here that has a fluency program,
Oh, great.
and every Monday night they have a group. So I figured, well, I would try that. This was when I was seeking therapy a couple of years ago, and there would be like 15 or 16 people in the group, and I would be the only woman. And I was like, oh my God, like totally not feeling this at all.
Yeah, with those kind of numbers, I can imagine that.
Because it was more or less, a fluency therapy group, all the men were there to, have at it and, working at, getting fluent. And here I was wanting to talk about stuttering. And definitely it played out into that whole, what is it? Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. Women tend to want to talk about our feelings about stuttering, and men really, and this is, I know this is a generalization, but men typically don't really seem to want to do that.
There's more
Do you
fun
find
to
that? Do you
do.
find that in your group?
In the one that's a little more traditionally support group structured, that is definitely the dynamic. And then that one, in fact, I am the only girl,
Oh.
and everybody does seem very results focused, which which is understandable, certainly. And my other group, it's definitely we just don't talk about stuttering at all, funnily and interestingly enough. So I haven't really noticed that. It's definitely the conversation definitely leans towards college basketball and baseball more than if it were mainly women, but that's the
Yeah.
only difference I've noticed so far. But
Yeah. Now, I started, a friend of mine and I started back in 2010. We started a group that we call Chat and Chew, and it's for people who stutter in our area, and we meet once a month at a bar or a restaurant. And again, it's not therapy or support group whatsoever. It's just a gathering of people who happen to stutter to
Right.
just get together and hang out. And I really enjoy that. And it sounds very similar to what you guys do. We talk about the Yankees mostly. And we also, talk about what people are doing at work, or current events, a little bit of politics, probably not as much as you guys do in DC, but very, very, very little stuttering talk, although we stutter.
Right. I kind of like that though, because it almost, it just normalizes it, just makes it kind of lets you have, just a normal conversation without the kind of added pressure
Right,
having to worry
right.
about it. So I kind of like that.
Yeah. We like it. There's no agenda. There's no time constraint. It's not like, oh, it's, an hour is up, so we've got to go. It's not that type of thing. And people generally seem to feel more comfortable over food.
Yes, food and drink.
Yeah, food and drink. Like if you're having a pizza and a beer, people just seem to be much more comfortable and relaxed and can really talk about anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, would you say that stuttering has shaped your life in any way?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Especially when I was growing up, making decisions about what I wanted to do. It was definitely a big factor. I don't think I actually think that where I am now is actually really good, and I'm really I don't feel like anything that I'm currently doing is anything that I've settled for, in any way. But I think that to get here, I've kind of taken a long route. Going off to college was difficult. I've definitely made a lot of decisions with my stuttering in the back of my mind, which is not a good thing necessarily. But I mean, like I said, I've ended up, exactly where I want to be. So I think that, in the end, it's all been for the best. But I've definitely made decisions based on, whether or not I was going to have to speak or, with my stuttering in mind, basically.
Did you choose your career because of you thought maybe you might have to talk less?
No, actually, and choosing my career was actually one of those big leaps, because I actually have to talk quite a bit, and
Oh.
it was one of those one of those opportunities where I had to tell myself, the only thing potentially keeping me back is, having to talk, and so it was more of a conscious decision not to let my stuttering get in the way of choosing my career. So.
Awesome, awesome. I remember when I was there facing that decision, I chose social work, even though I really had wanted to be a teacher. And I chose social work over that because I thought that there would be less talking.
Yes.
And well, that certainly turned out to be wrong. In the social work field and in the counseling field, you're doing talking all
Yes, I can
the
imagine.
time. Yeah. So would you say that there's any and any particular impact that you faced specifically being a woman who stutters?
I've honestly I've never really thought about that, which is too bad. I'm sure there has been. I guess when I think about stuttering, I don't really divide it up, gender wise, and that could be just because I grew up being, the only person I knew who stuttered, so maybe I just thought of it as an inherently a female thing anyway.
Oh, all right, right.
I knew, so not having anybody to really compare myself to, I just kind of grew up thinking about it, how I experienced it, which is very self-involved, I guess.
Well, the reason that I asked that is because the whole reason that I offer this plat plat platform for, you know, women who stutter to tell their stories, basically, is because we're the minority within the minority. And, you know, I've often felt that, you know, all of our role models have been men, you know, Joe Biden,
That's true.
you know, what,
James Earl Jones.
right, James Earl Jones, Bruce Willis,
Right.
you know, King George in the movie, the King's Speech, you know. So I've just always felt like, you know, God, there's just very, very, very few, if any, visible women who stutter. And, you know, it just seems like women need a space,
Yes.
and to be invited to tell their stories. So
I heard
that's why.
somewhere the actress Emily Blunt I used to have a really bad stutter. She was in the Devil Wears Prada, and
Oh, yes.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I know.
Yeah.
But she's been in all sorts of movies, but
Yeah, but I
everything
don't think she stutters now, or she doesn't stutter
no, not at
openly now. Yeah, I can't think of any women who actually stutter, you know, publicly. And I think that's too bad. I'd like to someday see a woman, you know, who's famous or on TV, you know, stutter, you know, openly, to do that whole, like you were saying earlier, normalizing thing.
Gosh, that'd be great.
Yeah. And it would be, you know, it'd be neat for there to be, you know, role models for younger girls and, you know, teenagers who are coming up, who are, you know, dealing with this. It's nice to be able to know that there are other, you know, young women and adult women who stutter. And again, that's one of the hopes that I have with this podcast, that women out there will listen and tune into this and realize they're not the only one.
Growing up, I think that actually would have made a big difference. Just knowing that there are successful people out there who stutter. It's not, a defining characteristic. I think that definitely would have been helpful.
Yeah. Well, by you telling your story here today, hopefully somebody out there will be listening and they'll be like, wow, you know, Erin's really successful and she's in the DC area and she's doing this and that. And your story, I think, probably will inspire somebody out there, and you'll never know it.
Well, gosh, I hope so. That'd be great.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being a guest today and for sharing parts of your story. I really appreciate that, and it was good getting to know you.
Happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It was good getting to know you too.
Yeah, thank you, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.